Sexton trying to get loose. He'll fire.
He knocks it down.
But Carl slammed it home. Garland upstairs.
Oh!
Sexton inside. Oh. A thunderous dunk.
And Allen blocked the shot at the rim.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Cavs media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. We finally got our first look at the new look Cavs, both the good and the bad. Two preseason games in the books, regular season just a week and a half away. And joining me today to discuss it is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
There were two games. I only remember one, the season preseason opener against the Atlanta Hawks. Last night, and it was a barn burner. It was a lot of fun, and as far as I'm concerned, that's when the preseason started.
The Cavs' dominance of the Atlanta Hawks continues after going 2-1 last season. They got another win. We're up 3-1 in the series, and as we know, nothing goes wrong after that. On a serious note, I think we should start by clarifying exactly what preseason is. Preseason is a continuation of training camp. They are training camp scrimmages against the second team. So I think in either direction, I think it's important to temper expectations, understand that guys are experimenting with things. It's not necessarily going to be reflective of the regular season. But that being said, I think there are still things that you can look both positive and negative from these first two games and start to extrapolate it. And especially when it lines up with some of your preconceived notions, both good and bad, I think preseason can be informative in those ways.
I think that's a real buzzkill way to start the pod, man. It all matters, and it's all super important, especially the good stuff. And you know, it was fun though. I will say, let's just kind of start off with the big picture here. It was fun to see the Cavs back. Obviously, the Bulls game was kind of a nightmare, to be honest. And like, if you came in worried about the spacing, worried about the youth, you know, you're talking about those preconceived notions, like, oof, there they were. We ain't in camp anymore. That's the kind of vibes, that you kind of got out of that first game. So the fact that they came into the Hawks game, and sure, there's no Trae Young, but, they came into the Hawks game with a much better, you know, like, oh, forgot that we're not playing against our friends and teammates anymore. These are teams that are out to kill us.
Yeah. And in those first two games, like the thing that jumped out to me in the Chicago game was, oh, yeah, some of these guys haven't played since May. And then you got guys like Ricky Rubio and Zach LaVine that looked a little bit sharper than everybody else because they had played in the Olympics. They had played meaningful basketball recently. And, Chicago looked awesome. Like, that's a team that...
I am trying not to to fall into overreacting, but I'll tell you what, the part of me that likes being right was like, they look pretty good, and I was pretty sure they were going to look pretty bad, so...
Yeah, I think everyone recognizes that Chicago has the potential to be a really good offensive team. I thought it was going to take some time, and it still might. I mean, it's preseason, and let's be honest.
And the Cavs were not playing good basketball.
Right. It was funny, because it was almost as though they had came out, like, cocky. Like, there was a lot of really sloppy plays early, like they were trying to be fancy. Garland kind of forcefully whipped a pass behind Allen's head a little fancy, I think, on the first play of the game. And things kind of devolved from there. But my one impression from the first two games, something that jumped out right away, and if you're talking about confirming biases, oh my God, we were right about Evan Mobley.
Yeah, well, what's funny is
Evan Mobley is an incredible basketball player.
Well, and what's funny is we were right in a lot of ways. You know, we were right also in the sense that he, you know, his flaws definitely also showed through. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, I was texting a family member about him, and I said that was the best 8-point-12 rebound game I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
Like, I mean, just the defensive plays were just jumping off the page in a way that, like, you know, it's easy to say, like, okay, yeah, he's going to be it's going to be a while. He's going to be a project on that end of the ball and on both ends of the ball. And he's not going to be a perfect defender, but, like, man, just the splash plays on defense were bananas.
Yeah. It's funny because some of his best plays defensively came off him doing the wrong thing. Like he unnecessarily left his feet, or he closed out a little too hard and let a guy get by him. And all of a sudden he had just recovered. He recovered, he contested, he blocked a shot, he pulled it out of the air. I think one of his blocks got credit as a steal because it never even became a shot attempt. Like the stuff that he is able to do defensively, it jumps off the screen. Like he looks like a number one overall pick when he's out there. Like he looks like that type of talent. And I don't know if you've been watching Jalen Green and some of the other rookies, but yeah, they're living up to the billing right now. And Mobley's really, really exciting.
I will say there are still, I think we shouldn't understate that there are some warts still. I mean, the handle isn't quite perfect yet. The, you know, he's getting crunched a few different times. I mean, the shooting, I mean, the scoring isn't really there yet.
I'm primarily talking about his defense. Yeah. His defense is better than I expected this early on.
I would definitely agree. I mean, the fact that there are a lot of plays where Kevin Huerter, who is a sneaky, very good off the bounce player, got him switched onto him and was thinking he had, you know, he had something to say about it, and he just didn't. Like there was just no opening. And you know, last night the Caruso step back. Or, I'm sorry, the first game, the Caruso step back, that was just like a nope. None. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, I think he might be near the top of the league in block jump shots early on. And like part of that's going to be guarding perimeter players as much as he's going to playing the four. But part of that's just he's got timing and he just surprises these people with his length.
Yeah, and you can tell he's a little bit stronger, too, like compared to preseason. They said it during the first broadcast that he added 11 pounds since preseason, which already showing some veteran savvy, not rounding like down to 10 or up to 15, because that's kind of the preseason cliche. Every player that needed to add weight gained 10 to 15 pounds of lean muscle, and every player that needed to lose weight lost 10 to 15 pounds. 11 makes it just a little more believable because it's such a specific number. I credit him for the veteran savvy there. But man, like what he does defensively really, really does jump off the screen. That dunk that he had, that poster dunk against Atlanta, like for a guy that wiry to be that strong, that's some real core strength. Like that, he is showing off a lot of strength for the weight that he has. And the other thing that jumped out to me is he's rebounding the ball pretty well. Like that's one of the things that really needs to be there for him, especially if you're going to be playing him with Lauri Markkanen a little bit in the second unit and whatnot, and playing him without Jared Allen. And real small sample size theater, of course, but his defensive rebound rate is around 30%, just under 30% when Allen is off the floor. It's good when he's with him as well. And that's an encouraging sign. That's the type of stuff you want to see because it allows you to do other things offensively. It allows you to play him with different lineups. And I think all of that is really, really encouraging and probably one of the most encouraging things that we've seen in the preseason.
And this is, I mean, I kind of wanted to save this one, but we're already here. You're talking about playing with Markkanen. I do feel like, you know, it was clear that John and AC wanted to talk about him playing with Jarrett. And on defense, I think that pairing looked really good. But like,
oh my goodness,
oh man, when Mobley got to play the five defensively with either Kevin or Lauri. Oh, man, his offense, that's really where he started to kind of shine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really like that second unit with Kevin Love, Ricky Rubio, Sexton, Mobley. Like
they were some pretty good names for a second unit, I'll tell you what.
It really is. Like it's such a stark difference from last season where the second unit was one of the biggest weaknesses on a team with quite a few weaknesses. The fact that you can roll those guys out and you have some veteran savvy out there. I thought Ricky Rubio, I guess if we're talking second unit, we need to talk Rubio. Outside of three-point shooting, he's doing absolutely everything right out there. Like, he's pushing the pace. He makes such smart passes. Really, really one of the most gifted passers in the league. He gets easy buckets off his ability to get to the rim and a couple easy layups every game. The headman passes really make a big difference. And there's so many things from his game that I would love to see kind of Garland implement into his own game and pick his brain. And that was something that really jumped out to me is just the intelligence that Ricky brings to the table when he's out there. That's something that the Cavs really, really missed last season.
Yeah, I mean, Ricky is, he's clearly looked like, I mean, I would argue he's looked like the best guard on the floor through the first two games.
I wouldn't go that far.
I think Darius has shown some, I mean, Darius had a really rough opener. That's the only reason I say that is, you know, in the aggregate, I thought Ricky was one of the people that was keeping the Cavs in the game before the lid blew off. You know, I don't think he's better than Darius Garland. I just think he played better in the first two games in aggregate. And yeah, I mean, the way he organizes the offense, the way he is like really showing that point of attack defense. I will say this, Justin, and I didn't like it in theory. I don't like it in practice. I'm not super into the Darius Ricky combo minutes.
Your thoughts? That was something that jumped out to me. Darius has absolutely no idea what to do with him yet. Like that. It's very clear that he has never played. He has never played with a point guard before, like on the floor. We've never really had a two-point guard.
If Darius really was what Tim McMahon said he was, which was an undersized two guard, which was ridiculous from Jump Street. But if he really was that, then that would make sense. But Darius doesn't really want to play the two. I don't think. I don't think that fits his basketball brain. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that.
Go ahead.
He can. I think he's smart and capable and will learn how to do it. But, you know, that's why that pairing didn't particularly appeal to me, because it's just like two dudes who all they want to do is set the table for other people. And it's like with this Cavs team, you need dudes to fire away.
Yeah. And the reality is, comfortable or not, that is a pairing that's going to get minutes together this season. And Darius, it's important for his development. It's important for his development to learn how to play off of a guy that has the ball in his hands. I thought he showed growth last year playing off ball off of Sexton. But that's a different dynamic than someone that's actually initiating the offense.
Yeah, in the sense that one isn't actually a point guard.
Right. So yeah. I think it's really important that Darius kind of changes his mentality when they are out there together, because that's a real good opportunity for him to get some easy shots, to get some off-ball looks, catch-and-shoot opportunities. I think that that's something that, as the season progresses, you want to see more development from those two. That's obviously something that it's probably tough for Darius to even practice for that, because in the offseason, he's probably working on being that lead ball handler, being the leader on the floor, initiating the offense. He doesn't have a lot of offseason training where he's working with another point guard and playing off ball. So there's going to be a learning curve associated with that. But that was definitely something that was noticeable to me, is that there was a little bit too much standing around from Darius when those two were out there together. And he needs to recognize what that opportunity is, which is a chance to get some easy catch and shoot buckets if he gets into those passing lanes. Because if you get open on the perimeter, Ricky Rubio is going to find you.
Yes, 100%. Couldn't agree more. I also would like to victory lap on another pairing that you hated and I liked. I thought Love and Laurie looked all right together in terms of how they worked on offense.
Okay. In terms of how they worked on offense,
you hated it. And I'm telling you, it's not terrible.
It's not
perfect, but it's not terrible. Because Love actually was working pretty damn hard on defense in those lineups.
This actually takes me to one of my takeaways. And it's still preseason. I don't think you should change things up just yet. But when you look at that starting lineup, I think everybody had some concerns offensively about Okoro, Mobley, and Allen together.
I think it's messed up that you're... Can I just note it's messed up that you're segueing off my point to a huge discussion without even acknowledging it?
Listen, you know me. We've been doing this together. We have done 313 podcasts together. You should know the way that I roll, which one is ignoring your good points if they are telling me that I was wrong in the past. Two, sometimes I will wrap it back around to that. That pairing was not as bad as I thought they would be, but it also kind of made me think about that starting front court, which I think everyone thought, okay, if the spacing is really bad, maybe Lauri Markkanen will start at the four. You bring Mobley along a little slower. Mobley and Allen look really good together defensively. And when you're playing with Sexland out there, you want to have that interior presence. Like, even against Chicago, those four together had like 100 defensive rating. Like, Chicago was hitting every single shot. They were not hitting shots when those four were out there together. Again, incredibly small sample size. But I think where I'm starting to go with this is Okoro might need to move to the bench. Like, I think you might have to examine.
There isn't.
If you're obviously going to continue trying this throughout preseason, maybe even into the season, and Okoro needs to be better because he was invisible out there. He was not being assertive enough offensively. Every time he has an open three,
not invisible against Atlanta, I thought. I thought against Atlanta he was much better.
He had moments. He had moments, but for the most part, when he was with that unit, I thought it was ineffective. I thought the spacing was off. The offense wasn't flowing. And it may be beneficial to have someone like Jetty Osman out there. I know people are going to hate that, but at least someone that's been historically more comfortable with the starters. He's more capable of hitting a jump shot. Okoro looks better with the ball in his hands, and he's going to have more time to do that with the second unit. If he's shadowing Laurie and Love and basically only playing when one of those guys is on the floor, I'm not advocating for him to lose his minutes. I think he should play the same number of minutes. I just think he should be out there all the time with one of those guys on the floor, because that spacing in the front court with at least one big man that can shoot is going to be really important for this team to have a functioning offense and to get out and go. Like, I think that might be a conclusion that they get to, because if Mobley is this good defensively, it's going to increase your margin for error playing this young team. And I just don't see how you move him to the bench.
I get it, man. But like, it's just a matter. The reason you start Laurie, if that is where you're at, and like, let's first just talk about the starting lineup. Before we talk about solutions, let's talk about whether it works or not. I'm not sure it works right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cramped. It's so, so very cramped. And if you think these turnover numbers are going away, I am worried that they're not, you know, mm-hmm. with that group specifically. There's not enough room for them to operate. And you're right that Okoro and Mobley are a tough pairing right now, especially if Collins 3 isn't going, which it kind of comes and goes at points.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem here is really your backup 4 is Lauri Markkanen, who you just paid $16 million a year to, or whatever the reported number is. And your backup 3 is Jetty Osman or Lamar Stevens, neither of whom are actually reliable shooters that have any real gravitational pull. The only reason, in my opinion, you can justify benching Isaac is for if Dylan Windler were to take off, and he hasn't even been in the rotation thus far. I have my mm-hmm. theories on that I'm going to share as we get later into the podcast. But right now,
is it because they played a back to back?
Jeez. No. But like, you know what I'm saying is like if their backup 3 was someone with gravity, like let's say Taurean Prince was still around, then it would make a little more sense to me. I just don't think Jetty is solving those spacing issues and adding very little in the way of defensive flexibility either. Either you're going to roll with the punches with the starting lineup till they get comfy with one another and start to figure it out, which I think is going to be a longer process than I thought, or you got to consider Lauri Markkanen. But Jetty Osman is not the answer to the starting lineup, in my opinion.
I think the solution is more likely to come from the small forward position, because I don't have problems with what Mobley and Allen are doing. Like, when I look at the congestion, when I watch the film, like, I don't think it's because of that pairing. I think
yes,
it has
but
more
the solution
to...
isn't there right now.
There is
a workable solution at the power forward position that is at least a Band-Aid. Whereas the small forward position, you got bigger problems there if Okoro doesn't fit.
Right, but ultimately we are talking about, and this may speak towards what you're saying of you might just have to kind of take some lumps early on while they figure things out. Like
Okoro, I think that's obviously where I lean, by the way.
Well, yeah, that's what I anticipate. I'm just kind of projecting down the road. I think for preseason and
but
to
what,
start
what
off
would
the
you
season,
do? But if you're coaching the team, what would you do?
I mean, I would ride it out for now. Like, Okoro just needs to play better right now. Like, that's you're going to give him the opportunity to do that because he contributes in so many other ways. And as you mentioned, like, as the game progressed against Atlanta, he got more comfortable. He played better. I'm going to give him that opportunity. I'm saying down the road, like, I think I would rather go at least try Jeddy in the starting lineup if this continues to go this way, because as I said, he has been more comfortable historically in the starting lineup. I think with the Sexland backcourt out there, you want to have Tower City, you want to have Mobley and Allen out there. And yeah, Jeddy has been a very streaky shooter, but he is still a better shooter than Okoro right now. And maybe you're hoping that
I don't care. Like, Justin, it's not about the percentages. It's about the gravity. People don't guard Jeddy.
That's fine.
That's the problem.
It doesn't solve the problem then.
It's not fine then.
No, it is fine, because if that is leading to Jeddy Osmond being left wide open, you get him the ball. If he misses those shots, then you move on from that. I'm saying that might be something that you may want to try eventually. If Okoro is still playing those same number of minutes, shadowing Love and Laurie out there with at least one spacing big throughout the game, maybe, like, I just think Mobley brings more to the table than Okoro does. That's basically what I'm getting at. Like, I think he's a more impactful
player. I totally hear it. And to be clear, this is, I totally understand your rationale. I just don't like your solution. Like, that's really what it comes down to, is like,
oh, nobody's going to like my solution. There is nobody on earth, when they're listening to this podcast, they're like, yeah, you know what? Justin is making such a popular point here that Jeddy Osmond needs to
get Okoro off the court.
And to be clear, that is not my argument. My argument is not right now, oh, you got a knee-jerk reaction to this. Like, no, let Okoro get his reps in here, man. Like, these guys, they are still learning how to play with one another. You're going to invest in these guys. You're going to give them the opportunity. I'm saying down the road, that might be something that you come to. Like, I just think if I'm looking at that front court, why it doesn't work has more to do with the small forward position than the bigs. And you're right that the easier solution,
I would agree with that, right,
is Lauri Markkanen, because he is at least an established player. It's his fifth year in the league. He can shoot. You don't have the options at small forward. This is where it really hurts, that the kind of trade targets we talked about, like guys like Joe Ingles, guys like Terrence Ross, they didn't get moved. They weren't available enough on the market. Yeah. Because adding someone like that, that would be the very easy solution in this scenario, because Evan Mobley is looking holy crap good.
Yeah, which is funny, because if you aren't, it is funny with that, because if you looked at just the box scores, you'd be like, he does not look holy crap good. But like, it's why you watch the game. You see, you see the potential. And I'm totally with you there. It is an interesting challenge, though. I do want to talk about Dylan, though, because we can transition to the backup wings a little bit better. If you have a discerning eye like myself, a basketball savant, if you will, you might have noticed that in the first game, Jeddy got all the backup 3 minutes. In the second game, Lamar got all the backup 3 minutes with a very small dose of Jeddy. I think I am willing to venture a small wager that Dylan Windler gets the backup 3 minutes in the third preseason game.
Your thoughts on that theory? Very smart bet. Like, I kind of felt that is where this is heading, that okay, we're getting each of these guys an opportunity to kind of audition.
It felt like some auditions.
It felt like auditions, and I do think Windler, like, not playing at all against Atlanta did also have to do with it being a back-to-back. Like, you're not going to overwork the guy. The Cavs are playing more preseason games than most teams as well, five instead of the four, so you got some time to play around with this. I would definitely advocate for that, because let's see what Dylan Windler looks like when he's playing alongside some of the starters. Like, that again is probably the best solution. Like, if he works out, like, I remember when the Cavs with LeBron were starting Joe Harris for a while, because they just needed some spacing at the shooting guard position, and Harris wasn't the player that he is now, not close to it, but just being a guy out there.
Never forget David Blatt playing that guy like 47 straight minutes to end the game.
But like, just a guy that is a threat to space the floor. Like, I think absolutely, if he's ready for it, that's one of the things that when we're looking at the remaining three preseason games here, I'd love to see Windler get that opportunity just to see how it meshes, how it clicks. Do they have good chemistry with him? Like, I definitely
I'll
think
tell you
your
what,
theory
I,
of
if,
auditioning
if
is a smart one.
And I think it's a bit of wishful thinking, because, you know, you've seen some good preseason pieces on Dylan. You hear that he's looking pretty good and active and feels healthy, and you know, theoretical Dylan Windler remains the best three on the roster, not named Isaac Okoro.
Right. I mean,
by several degrees of
camp
magnitude.
Standout. You've heard the term camp standout by Chris Fedor when it comes to Windler. Like, you would anticipate, if that is the case, that, yeah, he's going to get a crack at this at some point in the preseason.
Yeah, totally. So, like, if that's not the case, then, you know, it's a little disappointing because I think we all want Dylan Windler to win this job. Yeah. In fact, we want him to be the ninth man so you don't have to play 10 men. I think that's, isn't that fair to say? Like, we would love for this to be a nine player rotation.
Yeah.
Because when you go beyond nine, you're really doing it because you don't really trust nine.
And, yeah.
Or you're beat up or something like that. So, like, I don't know. I really am rooting for Dylan to get some run and to see if, you know, how he looks playing with rotational players. Because all of his run has really been with the end of bench guys at the end of blowouts.
Right, and you would assume that with Garland, Sexton, Mobley, Allen, like those guys, you're asked to do a lot less. And you would assume that would be a better position for him, where his game's a little more simplified. He just has to make the right play, take open shots when they're there. He's going to get more open shots with that group. So you're absolutely hoping that he gets that opportunity and looks good in it. I did think Lamar Stevens looks good.
Can I ask you
go ahead.
Before we move off Dylan, because I do want to use this as a springboard. What is it, let's assume Dylan is, you know, is the ninth man or a 10th man. He's in the rotation. What is the best lineup the Cavaliers can run out to support Evan Mobley and Evan Mobley alone?
Ooh. To support Evan Mobley alone, I'd say probably, I mean, assuming Garland and Rubio gain chemistry together, I think those two with like Windler, Laurie, and Mobley would be a lot of fun because that's a lineup that can really get up and down the floor. Ricky Rubio.
That was my four. And the only change I would make maybe is Jarrett for Laurie. If you wanted to go with Tower City and be more defensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that is like, but it really it's, I think it's a toss up. And I think those are the four. And that's why Dylan Windler matters so much, Justin.
You don't have to whisper it, man. That guy would make such
like
a big difference.
If he is the theoretical straw that stirs the drink here. He's the one who makes this team make a lot more sense real quick.
Yeah.
And it's funny to be saying that about a prospective ninth man. Maybe it's a bad thing that we're saying this about a prospective ninth man, but that's the way I see it.
Yeah, it is a bad thing, but at the same time, like when we're talking about hopefully this team can compete for the play-in, so we're talking about hopefully they can compete for the 10th seed. That doesn't mean an above 500 record. Like we gotta keep in perspective what that bar is. It probably means winning like a third of your games and like just over a third of your games, you're in the mix and then you make it a play-in. You're going to lose more often than you win. So yeah, it doesn't say great things about this team, but when you really step back and realistically assess what the expectations are for the season, yeah, those are the type of issues that plague a team that's looking to compete for the play-in. Like I think that's a completely realistic expectation here.
Yeah, and you know, it just I'm just gonna keep rooting for it till.
We've spoken enough things into existence at this point that I think we can do the same with Dylan Windler. I just want to briefly say again, I think Lamar Stevens looked really well. It's unfortunate that he can't shoot from the outside because if there's the spacing around him, you see the path to him getting minutes because not a lot of guys can stay in front of him. He's such a strong player and he's actually got a decent enough mid-range
and
shot.
Playing the three actually. Space. Yeah, well, you know, that was one of the reasons I like the Laurie Love pairing is because you can sneak Stevens onto the floor there. And while I don't think he's by any means an elite talent, he can play a little bully ball when he's at the three, and we saw him get a couple buckets that way. He can be a really switchy, valuable defender and kind of be an intangibles guy, which this team needs.
I'm holding Lamar Stevens
stock.
I'm absolutely holding some stock in Lamar Stevens.
I'm not holding stock, but I do think he can add value in the right construct. But yeah, I liked him. It's just the reality is he's not a ceiling raiser for them.
No, no.
In a way that a Dylan Windler might be.
Yeah, he is.
And then Jetty feels like the neutral option, you know?
Right.
Like if Lamar is the highest, the safe floor raising option, like he's not going to mess up. And Dylan is like the, you know, the kind of lotto ticket. Mm-hmm. And Jetty's like the known quantity. It's like we know pretty much what we're going to get. I will always stand just a little bit for Jetty's playmaking. Yep. Like that. The second he ran that pick and roll with Evan, I'm like, I'll bet he's going to get a lob here.
Yeah.
And he did.
Starter Jetty.
He's not
Jetty Carter.
He's not a horrific playmaker. The jumper is really what has betrayed him as of late. I know the decision making can be frustrating to people, especially on the defensive end, but he can run a little pick and roll. I mean, he was the team's freaking point guard for like 2 months last year.
Yeah. In related news, we got Evan Mobley.
Yep.
Yeah, let's go to, speaking of being able to run the team, let's talk about the sex line guards, because, I mean, those are guys that I don't think we're going to learn a whole lot from in preseason. They're not, yes, they have something to prove, but they're not going to prove it in preseason one way or another. We did this last year where Garland was just kind of getting other guys involved. Sexton had that awful preseason game against the Knicks, and we all kind of decided, hey, he didn't make the leap. And then Garland came out of the gate averaging like 19 points per game. Sexton looked great, had a career year. So I don't think we're going to learn a whole lot from them. Once this starts for real, I think we're going to find out what's going on with Sexland. But I do think that there's some interesting things there. I've noticed that both of them have been competing more on the defensive end. Sexton, I don't know if you noticed this, but he's been dodging some screens. He hasn't ran into the man every single time. He's showing more consistent effort on defense, and that is it's a nice sign, right? Like, obviously, they didn't have Trae Young. They didn't have the same weapons that they always would have had. But they had guys out there. Like, Atlanta's a deep team. They're probably going to be a really, really good team next year. I'm all the way in on them. But I liked what Sexton was doing
defensively. By the way, I love that. I want to. This is way off topic, but I'm doing it anyway. I like that. I don't think these teams like each other very much.
Yeah. Oh, man.
There is a little bit of. There's some, like. That felt, I think it was our friend Ben from Real Cavs Fans was like, this doesn't really feel like a preseason game right now.
Yeah.
Like, those teams were kind of going at each other. It was fun.
Yeah, there was a lot of effort out there. And I think once the game was still close late, I actually liked the decision for JB Bickerstaff to keep those guys out there. And let's get some experience end-of-game situations. Like, that's the benefit of having a starting
especially
lineup.
For anyone who had the Cavs money line. I mean, that's probably, that would be great.
Oh, my God, you are such a degenerate.
For anyone who did.
You are awful. But yeah, I thought both of the guards are actually looking better defensively. And like when you have two guys back there in Mobley and Allen covering for you, it's going to make things easier. And like we've talked about it, like you need to have, like they can bring a lot offensively. They can make a big difference. They've always played better off of one another. And if things are clicking with those two bigs, like if they are a way to make that backcourt viable, that is such a bonus for the Cavs, because Darius seems to be living up to expectations. Everything is indicating that he's ready to take the next step. Colin gets better every single year. I thought he was pressing quite a bit so far in the preseason, just kind of, you know, jacking up some shots.
I don't think either. I'm gonna be a quick buzzkill.
Okay, your throat's also being a buzzkill.
I'm gonna be a quick buzzkill.
Yeah,
I don't think Sexland has played very well.
No, I don't think they played great.
Your thoughts?
I'm not too concerned about it.
I'm moving towards. I'm not worried about it, but they haven't played good. Colin has been especially bad. 12 turnovers in two games. Mm-hmm. Darius just was kind of invisible against Chicago. In a kind of depressing way. I mean, he was getting some threes up, which was nice, but it certainly wasn't his best effort. And then against Atlanta, like, he was definitely better. I mean, 15-7, no big deal there. Still a lot of turnovers for him. But, like, just, you know, I just feel like Darius is giving me autopilot vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That's not an insult or a criticism. I don't think he's either not going all out or he's got something else in mind, because like 9 attempts in a game where he plays 36 minutes, I mean, you know, that's not exactly star volume. I'm not saying I wanted to see him. It's more, that's my theory. I don't think he's gone into these preseason games looking to dominate.
No.
Whether that's a bad thing or a good thing, I don't actually care.
I think he's trying to get other guys involved. Like, even in the Chicago game, like, he was getting by guys, no problem. Like, he looks really good physically. I think he's just looking to get other players involved. I think this is a product of it being preseason. Yeah, if this continues in the regular season, you'd obviously have some concerns. But especially as the game got kind of tight late against Atlanta, he was being more assertive. Like, he was looking to get his own shots. He wanted to win that game. And that wasn't the case when Garland was being his timid self in the past, right? Like, he would disappear in the end of those close games. So he was stepping up. I think Sexton's presence is so important, especially in that starting lineup, if they are sticking with that front court, because he is able to get shots against good defense and to hit tough shots. I like that he's attacking the rim a little more, getting up, getting some dunks. But no, he hasn't played well yet. He turned the ball over too much. The percentages aren't necessarily there. But at the same time, Colin Sexton isn't someone... Him and Garland, really. Like, I don't think they have a whole lot to prove in the preseason, so I'm not too worried about it. What I do like, and you alluded
not
to...
Not worried earlier, about it. I just wish it would just be more... I just want to say, not much to prove, but I do wish they were coming out and making it a no-doubter.
Yeah.
It would have been fun. I'm a little like, I'm not disappointed or anything, but it would have been fun to get to see them cooking.
Well,
does that make sense?
It does make
like,
sense.
I was almost I guess my brain was thinking like the Darius coronation starts now and maybe it's going to, we're going to wait a bit longer.
Yeah, see, I'm
like literally of, start of the season. Like I'm, to be clear, I'm, like, I'm not like it, years from now.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's starting a Wednesday against Memphis. Like that's kind of been what I've had in my mind, because like if he went out there and he took every single shot and everyone else was like standing around watching him and he put up 45 points, like I don't think that necessarily would be indicative of anything. I do really like that both of them are taking more threes. Like you look, 69% of Garland's threes or field goal attempts are coming from behind the 3-point line, which is very nice. Was 33% last year. Sexton 42%, up from basically 24% last season. Like they're actually getting up threes. Sexton took 8 threes against Atlanta. I like seeing that. They both passed up threes late in the game against Atlanta. I think you want to see them take those. In crunch time, you're going to have kind of your old habits come out. Like that's one of the things that you have, one of those hurdles you have to overcome. But the fact that they're taking more threes, I think, is a really encouraging sign. The fact that they're competing more on the defensive end is an encouraging sign. Like I'd rather see them compete on defense in the preseason versus really going out there and trying to dominate offensively. I will say, by that final preseason game, I wouldn't mind one test run with this team. Like, 2 more games of experimenting over the weekend. You get basically the week off. You get time to practice. I'd like to see that last game, similar to, like, the NFL where you get that dress rehearsal game. I want that to be the dress rehearsal game where let's get a better idea of what these rotations actually are. Let's play the way that you intend to play in the regular season. I think that would be kind of my perfect way to see this preseason play out.
Yeah, I think I agree. I do want to just see it. I just want to see it. You know, I hope I'm not being too big of a diva by wanting it, but like, yeah, it just, that's like, we all know that Darius is the reason this team makes the play-in if they do.
Yeah.
Like we all know that his taking a leap will do that. And, you know, it's funny, we criticized Isaac earlier and and maybe even less about him, but about his archetype in this current starting lineup. How different does that feel if Darius is being super aggressive offensively?
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know,
and that's why I think it's a reasonable point for you. Like, I think anyone that wanted to see it in the preseason, because so much hinges on how he plays this year, I think that's reasonable. I just, you know, like, it's preseason. Like, guys aren't going to give full effort. It is what it is. But ultimately, Darius, it's very important that he understands that in order for this team to click offensively, he needs to be assertive, and that's going to create opportunities for other players. There's no other viable path, really. Like, Colin Sexton is going to get his buckets. He's going to have, I think he's going to have a great season. I think he's going to be more efficient than he was last year because things will be a little bit easier for him. And he also just gets better every single year. But Garland's that one guy that when he's clicking, things become easier for Jared Allen. All of a sudden, he's getting those easy buckets down inside. Like, things will become easier for Evan Mobley. Like, Okoro's going to get opportunities slashing off ball. Like, everything comes together when he's assertive. So I think as things progress, I hope he gets a little more assertive in the preseason. But it does seem like right now he's just trying to run the offense, get everybody else involved, and develop some chemistry before they head into the year.
Couldn't agree more, man. I think we solved Cavaliers basketball for everyone.
You know, congratulations. We did it. I do think we should talk about Lauri Markkanen. The Chicago game did not go well for him at all. It got a little better.
I'm telling you this much. It's going to be frustrating every time a two guard's on him.
Yep. I think
that just felt bad.
I think you saw some of the good and the bad with Lauri Markkanen. Like, he can go out there and he can make some really good plays. I think he was pressing a little bit back in Chicago. He wanted to do well there. But you also saw the bad side, like the reason why he has not lived up to expectations this year, which he can't take advantage of smaller guards. I think you have to kind of accept that and not get the ball to him in those situations, because I don't think he's going to take advantage of it. Now, granted, Lonzo Ball's stronger than most small guards. He's more of a small forward out there. But at the same time, like, that has been one of the big issues for Lauri Markkanen throughout his career. So I thought he was better against Atlanta. I think you can see the flashes and the areas where he really helps, like Garland making that pass to him at like the 45 degree angle. Like, that was beautiful. He's a willing and ready shooter. That's something that they really, really need. But you also have to accept the other side of that coin, which is, despite his size, he's not going to go out there and do 7-footer things. He just isn't.
He got Levine on him in the post. I know you remember this play, because he went to give him a good healthy bump and Levine did not move an inch.
No.
And I was like, ooh. Yeah. Oh, it is not just that. It ain't just because, you know, some of these bigs, it's like a will versus skill thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if they just wanted to play bang down low, like Anthony Davis or whatever, they can just mash dudes. I don't know if he's got the skill. You know, he's got those physical traits to bang with those dudes. I mean, one thing I do want to say, though, if you catch the ball on the block, that dude is big enough to face up and hit a jumper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm talking like,
you don't
about
need
like
to barrel your way to the post.
Up. Yeah. I'm talking about like the 19-foot post up.
Like, get duck ins, small guy ways to get to the rim. You don't have to fight your way down there, but like, he can get close and use his touch. Mm-hmm. But like the back down, you know, attacking a mismatch on a back down clearly ain't gonna be it.
Yeah, and honestly, like, this kind of ties into what I was saying earlier about Mobley. The fact that at his weight, like, he is very clearly, he weighs less than Lauri Markkanen. The fact that he's able to actually move guys, like, when you
some
get
functional
it to,
strength.
Oh my God. Like, the stuff that he does, like, he doesn't make sense physically. Like, I'm so excited every single time that he gets the ball. I know it's going to be a work in progress. The jump shot takes a lot of time to get off, and sometimes he rushes it and it's a bad miss. But then there's other times where he's got a smaller player on him. He hooks him. He gets by him. All of a sudden, off a live dribble, he's dishing it off to Lauri Markkanen for a beautiful baseline jumper or other smart plays, dunking on guys. Like, you can just tell, like, the stuff he's already picked up since summer league, and some of this is also just playing with better players, playing with a point guard, just more functional talent around him. But you can tell, like, this is a guy that picks things up quickly. He gets better at the more games that he plays, which has always been his reputation. And I can't wait for what the future holds with Evan Mobley. Like, if you're looking for anything from the preseason to really get you excited, it's what this potential can be, like what he can bring to the table. Because yeah, Darius Garland may be the straw that stirs the drink. He may be the vocal leader of this team moving forward, but it's pretty clear what the path is to Evan Mobley being like the holy crap best player, floor raiser, make this team very relevant in the near future guy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. I'm very, very excited to see what we've gotten to see from Evan. And man, I just want the Pacers game to come now.
Yeah. I'm so disappointed. I'm not going to be able to watch that live because there's a Bomber game that night. So I'll have to be watching that on Saturday morning.
Wow.
I'm a psychopath, man. The fact that I'm getting disappointed that I can't watch a preseason game live, I'm sick. I'm realizing this as the words are leaving.
Now who doesn't watch the games, man? Jeez.
It's still you. It's both of us now. Now we need a little bit more time before we record our next podcast because neither of us are going to watch. You can't bluff going off of all my knowledge and insights like you usually
do. Oh, yeah. That's what you do. That's what I do. I really lean on your expertise.
Outside of a Dylan Windler audition, is there anything that you are hoping from these weekend games that you can see? Maybe a wrinkle from the rotations or something from some player?
I want to see a lot more Ricky and Evan pick and roll.
Rick and Mobley.
There we go.
Rick. I totally agree. I want to see more Ricky, Love, and Mobley. I want to see that. I like the fact that Kevin Love looks spry out there.
I've loved Kevin Love's minutes. I think he's playing well. Maybe did I win on this one? I zagged big time compared to the narrative on Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, the question is going to be...
I'm not counting a win yet, but it's not a definite loss. And for as big of a zag as I was taking, I'm feeling pretty good about it right now. His little step back, like 12-footer, ooh, that was pretty. Ooh.
I think the thing you can pretty definitively say is he looks healthier. Like, he's moving around well, and that was
noticeable. Especially on defense.
Like... when you looked at him with Team USA, like, he was still very clearly stiff. Like, he looked like he had a board nailed to his back. And he's moving around well. He's able to create jump shots. He's, as you mentioned, moving better defensively. Like, the question with Love now, once again, returns to how long is he going to be bought in coming in off the bench? Like, how invested is he going to be? But the physical part, at least for now, seems to be answered, right? Like, he looks better to start the season, which is great. That hasn't always been the case. Hopefully he can remain healthy and hopefully he can keep contributing in this way, because there is absolutely a need for what a healthy Kevin Love can bring to this roster. Yes, other guys are being prioritized, but he's still a useful player when he is healthy and engaged.
Couldn't agree more. It's Millie's bedtime. We got to go, bro.
Okay, we'll wrap things up. Hopefully Kevin Love continues to stay invested. Hopefully we get that Dylan Windler audition and, of course, Rick and Mobley. Thank you so much to everyone that's tuning in live on YouTube. Remember, like, subscribe, click that little bell so you get notified whenever we go live. If you're listening on podcasts, you can support us by leaving a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of the Chasedown's exclusive Discord chat, you can send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there, and until next time, go Cavs.